Well, good morning, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control actually for this session is Gary, KC2RMO. His location is Syracuse, New York. I'm merely opening it up this morning. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. And my current location is DeLand in Central Florida, where it's currently a temperature of 61, high today of about 72, and low tonight of about 47. But I am heading home to Vero later this morning, and that temperature is right now 64 and a high of 74 today. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, please come aboard. All right, hearing no emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. How about anybody celebrating a birthday, either in your household or you yourself, last week or this upcoming week, that would like to come aboard so we could say happy birthday?
RMO?
I knew you'd come aboard, Gary. Share your lovely wife's birthday, and maybe you'd like to talk a little bit about what you did for the birthday. Thanks for being here, and thanks for doing the session. So come aboard, Gary.
Well, thank you, ma'am. We had a wonderful time with my wife, Stephanie, and celebrating her birthday last week. We took a weekend and went to New York City and saw the Phantom of the Opera, and it was awesome actually, and just had a great time going to the show and having dinner and kicking around Times Square, and I highly recommend that to anybody, and it is just a great time. So wanted to give an extended happy birthday to Steph, and we'll send it back to Kat for the rest of the opening. It's KC2RMO.
All right. Thanks for sharing that, Gary. And I'm not too interested to go to New York, but, you know, it is always a place that a lot of people like to visit. I never went there when I lived up in that area, so definitely don't want to head up into the congestion and the cold. It's a beautiful day here in South Florida and Central Florida. Pure sunshine out there, and it looks like it'll be a beautiful day. So everyone, this is the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. The purpose of this net is to bring our members and non-members together in a relaxed and informal atmosphere to enjoy a moderated rag chew. Our topic this morning is that very popular Ask an Elmer. We always have a great session, and we have a great NCS that comes up with some great information. But everyone, if you've been part of the session this morning, we always record this for possible posting on our website as a podcast. So if you've been part of this session, you most definitely will be part of that podcast. So without any further ado, and I will say, everyone, if you haven't checked out our website, please check that out. There's a lot of new changes on there, a lot of information, and some very interesting pictures. So with that, Gary, KC2RMO, the floor is yours, and I'll be in the background just listening. So KC2RMO, come aboard.
Hey, thank you, Kathy. And yeah, you're right. There are some very interesting pictures there. And really, let me just second that, too, because if you haven't seen the website for in the past couple of months, do yourself a favor and check it out. It is just super. And we'll give a little tip of the South Cars hat to Steve Victor Hotel for his wonderful work on that website, because he's done a great job with that. And good morning, everybody. It's 31 degrees and snowy and sleety and sloppy here in Syracuse's beautiful outer Comstock section. We have a winter weather advisory going on, and there's actually flooding going on here in the city, in certain parts of the city, as we got 2 inches of rain last night, too. So we're having just a wonderful time welcoming spring. It's just great. But what we're doing this morning is a little thing we do just about once a month called Ask an Elmer, and the premise is pretty simple. We just take your questions or comments about ham radio, really any topic about the technical aspect of the hobby or operating procedures. Let me just buy a nickel for a moment. And what we do with that question is we will field that to everybody listening and to see everybody's take on that particular issue that you have. Plus, we have some interesting tidbits to offer a little bit later on in the net, and the usual stuff, too, of course. So it's time to ask an Elmer here on South Cars. Now, whether you're a new ham, and we love to hear from new hams. I sure hope we've got some new guys out there. That would be great. Us old buzzards, we're kicking stuff around, but it's nice to hear the new folks, too, because I'm sure you guys do have some questions, and don't be afraid to ask. We don't bite. Or if you've been around the block for a few times, we still like to hear from you, too. So let's get things going, whether it's just to say hello or whether you want to start things out with a question or what have you. We'll start with some check-ins, and we'll do it right now. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Juliet Alpha Kilo.
Good morning, Jack, and thanks for taking the plunge. Anybody else out there?
Yeah, I guess I doubled with you. Good morning, Gary. Six Victor.
You big Yankee.
Four Fox Delta Golf Mike.
Well, that's better. For a minute, I thought I was back on my old radio show. So let's get things going. We got a nice round of check-ins right now. We'll get things going with Jack, J-A-K. Come on aboard.
All right. Well, thank you, Gary, and good morning, South Cars. I got baby Rue sitting here in my lap all curled up, nice and warm. Had to turn on the air conditioner. You know, kitties do heat you up quite a bit, but I just thought I'd throw that in there, commenting on your cold weather up north. Yeah, Miss Kathy was right when she said brilliant sunshine and great weather. Although it's below 70 degrees at the moment, so it's slowly warming up. But it'll be a great day. And taking the plunge, sure, I'll take the plunge down here. You can keep the water up there. It's a little nipply for me. So, hey, with that said, we'll say good morning. And yeah, I'd like to hear from some new hams also in here. Any questions, whatever, we've all been down that road, we've all had our questions, and I'll tell the new hams, just like I tell any new electricians they want me to train, or they give me, and say, this is your helper, teach them. I tell them, any questions you ask me, because the question you don't ask is the one that'll kill you, because then you're going to get your hands into something, whatever, but anyway, bring on the questions. We're here to help, and good morning, one and all. K4JAK, back to net.
Hey, thank you, Jack, and that's exactly, and what a great line. That really is true. So, yeah, don't be afraid to ask, that's for sure. And I think you probably have a little bit more on the line in electrical work, but, the principle's still the same thing. It's great to hear from you. Give baby a little scratch behind the ears for me. I know when I have cats here on the air with me, our cats are just not as civilized. They won't sit in your lap. I've got Jingles up on my shoulder or Cicero wrapped around my neck, so or on the keyboard. Yeah, that's another favorite spot. But great to hear from you, and definitely hope we'll be hearing from you during the course of the net for sure. We will move it along to Six Victor, and good morning to you, sir.
Well, good morning, Mr. Agnew. Thanks for running the show. Good morning to everybody assembled. And that was really a great line from you, Jack. The question that you don't ask is the one that's going to kill you. Coming out of the broadcast business, a lot of the people that wanted jobs at our location were two-way men, you know, had a lot of electronic experience, but everything was 12 volts. And then you get them into the transmitter building and say, now, this is the first thing you think about. You stick one hand in your back pocket and you leave it there. Because we're dealing with 25 to 30,000 volts, not 12 volts. Any rate, it's a gorgeous day down here, Gary. You've got the weather reports already from Jack and Kathy. I've looked at the radar, and the entire southeast quadrant of the United States is just blessed with nothing but sunshine and more sunshine and more sunshine. So I think we're going to have a nice day. I'll be in the background. You know, we're packing. We're getting ready to get out of Dodge. KY6V, back to you, Gary. Over.
Well, you gotta pack. You know, excuse me. It seems like every time I open my mic, I have to cough lately. But I do remember those days when we had. When we had nice weather, when we had the chief engineer for the group come down, and he had a fella that was going to be training to do some you know, little gopher type of work for engineering, and he'd never had the back of a transmitter open before, this kid. And he's explaining to him, you know, that this is 443 phase and all this stuff, and this guy is just freaking right out, you know. it just totally blew his mind. It's like he just thought it was, plug and play. You know, he couldn't believe what it was, you know. So, and that wasn't all that big a transmitter either. That was nowhere near the stuff that you played with. So, it was a sobering experience for him. That's for sure. But good luck on the packing, Gordon, and good luck on the trip back home. Great to hear from you as we continue things this morning. And right now, just everybody saying hello. And if you're listening and you're thinking of some questions, be sure to store them up for the next round. But we'll move it right along and say hello and a big good morning to Quebec Yankee. Hello there, Jim.
Well, hello there, the KV4KQ. KV4QI, I don't know why in the world I'm having so much trouble with that call sign. It rolls off the tongue nice. I just can't get it off my tongue. Anyway, there you go. Good morning to you. And everything, I'm about to say here, just in case somebody hasn't been on the website lately, or wasn't with us sometime yesterday, but Mr. Gordon and Miss Sunshine has tied the knot, and, so we wish the best for them. Congratulations to the best. And that brings up a good subject that he's getting about. You'll get an opportunity to enjoy now. And that is having a wife for a ham, or a ham for a wife, either way you want to go at it. Which you already know, Jerry. But it's a whole different world. My first wife was not a ham. She did not carry anything for ham radio at all. She didn't know a fuse from a transformer, and could care less. I guarantee you. So, it makes a world of difference when you got your partner as is along with him, the hobby, or at least has an interest in it. And then, of course, Miss Moffat, and she was him. And then when Miss Beta got married, she walked into ham, but she was well on the way. And we sure makes a difference. And that's something he'll get to experience of. So my suggestion for a new ham coming along, in case we have one that's listening, is to be sure that you get a wife that either is a ham or is interested in ham radio. Because it's such a big part of a ham's life that the wife really should have some interest in it. And I've had both, so I give a full comparison. Good morning to all, Jay, at KB4QY, Springfield, New York, all.
Hey, Jim, thank you very much, and you've made a great point there. We made the announcement last night when we were doing I made the announcement last night when we were doing the outreach recognition show Steph was going to give it a go. She's thinking about giving it a try in the July technician course. And I'm giving her a round of applause right now for that, which is great. And you make a great point, because it's like I said last night, you know, I don't think I don't want to overly generalize, but I don't think too many wives really adequately understand the ham radio person's obsession with antennas and all these weird terms they're throwing around and these bizarre noises coming out of the basement and all this stuff. And it's like, why would he even be doing stuff like that, you know? I think that on Steph's part, she's trying. She's the most trying person I know. That she really is trying, and I think that's commendable. And it's just something that you can do with that guy that you happen to be hanging around with, you know. But it really is. It's a great thing. And all kidding aside, it's just something that I think is an awesome situation if you both can. I mean, look at it this way: if your wife or your girlfriend is thinking about taking the plunge, using the term of getting her license, you're in a perfect position to help her out, right? You know, you can help her along the way and get her. Get her going on that tech license, and of course, not to forget the South Cars outreach courses either. Those are great too. So, but it really does. It makes for an interesting time at home, who knows? You can work a little DX together. It might be kind of fun. So that's awesome. But thanks, Jim. Thanks for checking in, and thanks for being there as my backup. And it's great to hear from you as always. We will move things along to DGM. Come on aboard.
Yeah, okay, Gary. KC, VK4FDGM, Dale in Brisbane. Good morning to all. Yeah, we've had a couple of wet days here in Brisbane. It's been a low at the moment. It's about 61, and the high has been up about 91 degrees Fahrenheit, so all good. We've had about 12 inches of rain at the moment, so it's fairly damp underfoot around the area, throughout southeast Queensland anyway. All right, my topic, I like to bring up in CW, all right, I've been starting out receiving the CW. Well, I'm up to about 8 or 9 words a minute at the moment there. But I'm about to get into transmitting, TXing CW. And I was wondering what sort of key should I be looking at? Should I be looking at a paddle or a straight key, or... Well, what should I be learning from there? I reckon if maybe someone can comment on the types of keys that are available there. I've seen a few in some of the shacks over here in VK, some homemade ones and some ex-military ones from the Navy, Air Force and that, and the local post office PMG ones there too, but everyone seems to have a favourite key there. So we're about to get into this transmitting CW, so it'll be interesting to see what any ideas or what sort of key we should really be learning off, whether it be the paddle one or the straight key and that. All right, back to you, Gary, and good morning to everyone. This is VK4FDGM.
Hey, Daryl, that is a great question. Thank you for asking that. And I'm gonna give you my take, and then we'll throw it out to hear others' opinions. Jack also has a comment. Before we get started on that, let me just open it up for Jack's comment, and then I'm going to give you my take on that key, and then we're going to throw it out for comment from the rest of the folks listening. So, Jack, come on aboard with your comment.
All right. Thank you, Gary. And my comment has to do with Steph studying and going for her tech license. As I said last night, congratulations, way to go, and we're behind her 100%. Any help needed, you know, I'm more than happy to give a hand if she needs it. But back to what Jim was saying now, you know, it's pretty good to have the better half as a ham, you know, your wife or your husband, whichever, your mate as a ham, because the simple fact is, we go to these ham fests and we come home with all these equipment, you know, this new stuff and this and that, and boy, do we catch the look or the cold shoulder or whatever, you know, you bought that, you know, oh really, you spent how much, yeah? Well, the best thing about having her now, when she gets her ticket and becomes a ham, is the equipment. She won't be questioning how much you spent or what you bought. She'll be snagging it so she can talk on it, and you won't get to play with it. Yeah, back to net.
Well, I'm just kind of hoping for that new Kenwood. You know? I keep hoping, she says. But that's a great point, though. It really is. You get to we get to share our toys, you know, which is great. But you know, I do kind of lose the sanctuary of the ham shack downstairs, you know. So, but she says I can have it anyway. But I'm sure we'll work the whole thing up. But thank you, Jack. Appreciate it, and great comment. So let's get back to the business at hand. For Daryl here, Daryl's question was, okay, I'm going to start transmitting. What key should I use? Now, I'm going to pass along my 2 cents worth, and let's see what everybody else says about this. A very wise person by the name of KY60... gave me some advice on a key, and I think it's the best advice you can get. Go on eBay and find yourself a J-38 key, okay, which is an old World War II surplus key. These things were awesome. They have a great weight. They have a great feel, and it is just absolutely super. It is it's a straight key, and it just has an awesome feel to it. I can't describe it to you, only that it feels very natural and very, very good. So that's my recommendation. Also, I'm going to recommend something that may be contrary to what others would say. Let me just buy a nickel, and I'm going to get into it for a minute. And my recommendation is this. If you get yourself some PSK31 software, like FL Digi or AirLink or, you know, any of the other ones out there, they all have a provision for decoding CW, all right? And what I would recommend doing is using that as an aid, not as a crutch, but as an aid to help you with your decoding. They also have a provision for allowing you to send code via the keyboard. The reason I mention this is that if you're having trouble getting up to speed in transmitting with the key, if you hit a plateau, rather than getting frustrated and putting it all away and saying, forget it, I don't ever want to do this again, this will bridge the gap for you. I would strongly urge that if you hit that point, that you continue to use the key and try and get your speed up. But I also offer that to you as an option to keep yourself in the game rather than walking away from it. So with that said, I'm saying use the J38. It's a great key. Let's see what other people think. What can we recommend to Daryl for a first key? We will take check-ins right now as we continue with Askin' Elmer. This is the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Victor Hotel.
Six, Victor.
KK4SHH.
Okay, three that time around. I'm going to go down to Louisiana and say hello to Steve and Victor Hotel. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning to everyone. 51 degrees and clear this morning in Lafayette, Louisiana. My recommendation would be to start by establishing a goal. And if you want to become a speed demon, or at least what I consider a speed demon, or you just want to get on and work casual CW, and I think that breakpoint is at about 20 words a minute. So if you want to send by hand above 20 words a minute, get a bug or other complex gear, and start right off the bat with that. If your goal is casual CW and you're going to be below 20 words a minute, grab a straight key and start there. I think you should start with whatever key meets your expected goal. Back to you, Gary, KF5VH.
Thanks, Steve. That's a good take on that. Learn what you're going to be using. That's very good. I have very low expectations for my transmitting speed in spite of taking the code course here at South Cars. But I'm like 5 to 8 minutes words a minute, if I sit there and if I practice all week long, I'm feeling better. I just need a lot of more time in it, but really, I don't think I'm ever going to be above 20. I don't think realistically I'm going to be lucky if I get it up to 15. So for me, a straight key is just great. But that's a great point. That if you are going to be one of those folks that are going to break that 20 word a minute plateau, start to learn the tool. Learn to use the tool. And get a bug and practice with it. So that's a great point. Thank you, Steve. Hope we hear from you as we progress in this thing. We move along now to the definitive word in CW. There's Gordon in KY6V. Come on aboard.
Well, thanks, Gary. With my love of this subject, I just had to drop the packing and come in and put in my 2 cents. Daryl, good morning to you, sir, down there in Australia. All of the comments that I've heard here, both from Gary and from Steve, are excellent. I want to mention this, that you don't have as much of a plateau problem in your sending. The plateau is in your receiving. And there's a simple answer to that, and that is because you know what you're going to send. You don't know what's coming in from the other end on the receive side. I grew up with a Viberplex semi-automatic bug, if you will, and that is still my key of choice. If you think that you want to get up with the big boys and speed demons, as Steve has mentioned, using the bug is fine, and as starters, there is a trick with a Viberplex bug that you can actually turn it into a vertical straight key. Now think about this. You have the dots on one side and you have the dashes on the other, and so you use the dash side and just punctuate your dots and your dashes by using the one side of the key, and it sounds just like a straight key, and it works very, very well. But good luck, and Gary, I would go in just a little bit further with Daryl and make sure that he knows that on our website are the complete class recordings of the number of times that we've run the Morse code class here on the SCARS server, and some very good information in there, and I think he should probably browse it just to know that it's there and see what he can use, Gary. KY6V, back to that.
Great point, Gordon. And Daryl, you heard it. Go to the South Cars website, go to the outreach site, and find those courses, those sessions devoted to code. I'll tell you, I took that. I went through the instruction. These are super courses. These are super sessions, and just a great learning experience. Definitely will help you. And as a matter of fact, I'm really getting started seriously. Putting the ham shack back together. I gutted the room, and I've moved my work downstairs. Now I'm starting to rebuild it, and we're going to be back on the air in about a month or two down there. But one of the things I will be doing is working code, and I'm going to be revisiting that South Cars outreach site to get myself back up to the point where I feel a little better about doing that. So Gordon's advice is very good, and I would definitely encourage you to go to the website and check that out. We continue as we go down the list to SHH, and we'd like to hear your comments, so come on aboard. Wonder if we lost him. Let's try again. SHH, come on aboard. Nope. Okay. Well, if you can come back in, you're certainly welcome to. Let's throw it back to Daryl. Daryl, did any of that advice help you?
Yeah. Okay. There, Gary, KC2RMO, VK4FD, Jim Returney. Yeah. Well, that's quite interesting. I've been having a look through the website there before, so. Yeah, we'll go through those ones and check them out. And okay, on the bug there, so no worries. Yeah, sounds interesting, and being able to use it at the straight key there too. So yeah, it's certainly interesting. The old Morse code there, and. For what's with all this with the new technology of it there, and I'll probably be getting into it like just in the casual sending and receiving and that mode there. So we here in VK land, Australia, we have a few slow morse practice CW sessions there and nets that are, that get on 80 metres and 40 metres and that. So yeah, so we'll probably we'll check out a few more ideas there and yeah, it's just getting because I'm having no problems receiving. I'm getting up to about 9 words a minute at the moment. So on receive. So and like I said, we're about to get into the sending side and. It's certainly interesting there for sure, the type of key to get into, but yeah, certainly we'll check out the outreach CW there for sure, so all good. All right, we'll keep listening here for a while, and then we'll be putting our head on the pillow very soon. Here it's Monday morning here, so all good. So thanks for running the net there, Gary, and good to hear everyone coming up there. So we'll keep listening back to net controls there, VK4FDGM.
Hey, thank you, Daryl, for being a night owl and staying up with us, and thanks for your question too. I think really, you know, if you go between the two points that that both Steve and Gordon were making, you can't go wrong. That as a matter of fact, if you go right there, PUJ just put the link in the text box. For the outreach section, you know, stay with that. That's just great to keep yourself sharp and to move yourself along. And from the mechanical standpoint, I think Steve just made a super point. Think about what your goal is going to be, and train yourself on that tool. Whether if you think you're just going to be like me. Realistically, I don't ever see myself going above, say, 15 words a minute or so. Straight key for me is great, and I love the key that I've got. For me, that's a great fit. But you know, if you're going to be a serious CW person, then you're going to want a bug. You know, you want to get yourself a Vibraplex and go to town, son. That is great, you know. And if that's the goal that you set for yourself, then that's the tool you want to train yourself on. So I don't know what the lowest speed that you can do on a bug is. I expect they probably go down to 5 words a minute, so you can start out slow and work your way up. But definitely worth the effort, that's for sure. And that is, I hope, that folks that listen to these nets on South Cars, especially if you're a new guy, you know, or gal, that you're a technician and you hear folks talking about work and code and this, you know, this bug and the straight key and all those things. Say, well, that's old school. That's stuff that they used to use with Marconi and stuff. That's just as viable a mode today as anything else out there. And it's you get a lot of bang for the buck working CW. So it really is worth the effort to learn it. And plus, it's just a cool way to communicate. I enjoy it, and I know lots and lots and lots of other people do too. So hang in there with it, and think about your goals, and buy the right hardware, and I'm going to buy a nickel. Stand by. So we're doing Ask an Elmer this morning, and basically it's kind of like the red-green show on the radio, you know. We're just talking about all things technical and ham radio in general, and it's great to have each and every one of you along. One of the things, and I don't know if you were with us for the last Ask an Elmer session, but I think I might have mentioned this, that I was starting to get resolution to my antenna dilemma here. Now, let me explain it to you if you haven't been familiar with the with my particular situation, because I think my particular situation is similar to many people's situations. I live in the city of Syracuse. I have a very small lot. The antenna that I use for my HF work is an MFJ-1788 loop. It's a terrific antenna, actually, for what it is. It is a 3-foot diameter magnetic loop. I have been able to go all over the world on this thing, and it's very compact, doesn't get in anybody's way, and it's done a pretty good job, but I've always wanted something a little more bang for the buck, and I like to work DX. I really do. To me, there is just a huge thrill about going this with a little 100-watt station and, you know, going all the way around the world on this thing. To me, that's a big deal. And so I kind of wanted to something that would help me a little bit more with that. So I've been researching this for a while, and I've been racking my brains for a while and saying, well, you know, on this little lot, what can I put up that's going to allow me to work multiple bands, not take up a lot of space? I don't have a lot of attachment points around here, so what am I going to do, right? You know, am I stuck to using the loop? Let me buy a nickel. And the answer I came up with is this. If you look in the text box, I put a link in there. And that gives you the URL for the guts to this thing, for the matchbox to this thing. And also, if you want to buy it, you can buy it from them too. But they give you complete plans to make it. And what I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to take this end-fed antenna that I gave you the link for, and I'm going to run it as a vertical. The beauty of this is that I have the footprint of a vertical without the need for radials, because I don't have a lot of room for radials. I checked this out with the Honolulu Emergency Amateur Radio Club, who are the folks that designed this thing. They use this thing as a vertical, actually, and they've been very successful with it. So I would say if you have a small lot, not a lot of space, and you are looking for something that has a low takeoff angle and maybe will help you work a little DX and has the ability, this has to be tuned. You have to have an antenna tuner for it. But if you want to work multiple bands and play around with something, that you can build this thing for about $25. And PUJ says that's his antenna, and it works great. Awesome. And as a matter of fact, we'd like to hear from you about that. So when I take the break, come on aboard, and let's hear from you about that. This thing really sounds like the greatest thing since sliced bread. This could be a solution for a lot of people, so let's take some check-ins right now. If you're familiar with this antenna, we'd like to hear from you. If you're in a similar situation to where I am, we'd like to hear from you, or we'd just like to hear from you anyway. So we'll take check-ins right now. This is the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. We're doing Ask an Elmer, and we're looking for you to come on aboard.
Get back, Yankee.
PUJ.
Kilo Alpha Victor.
Okay, we got three that time around, and we'll kick it off with Quebec Yankee. Hello, Jim.
This is KB4K, KB4GY. I'm trying to make the thing look longer than it is. But anyway, I wanted to touch on this subject since nobody else did, and I thought they was. So I wasn't going very far with it because, let somebody else have a chance. But there's one other thing to look at in the CW world, and that is there are so many radios now that have tiers built in. So if if you got a radio, then you'll know whether it's got one or not. But if not, look at the radio before you buy it and see whether or not it has a gear. If that's the type of stuff you're interested in, you know what, you may not need to go out and buy a full gear. All you need is the paddles. And, anybody's information doesn't know, the paddles ain't nothing in the world but two straight keys back to back. That's just what it is. One side, it's got two switches. One side makes docks and the other side makes dashes. In fact, I saw a fellow that actually put two straight keys together back to back and stood them up on the edge. but at any rate, you may not need to buy anything other than a set of paddles, because you may have the gear already built in. So I think it is something to consider if you're going for a radio. See whether or not it's got a gear. For goodness sake, don't go out and buy a gear if you already got one. and if you don't know, stick a plug in your CW jack on the back. It's quarter-inch plug, a stereo plug, and stick one in there and just take a screwdriver or something and shorten one side of it. That'll tell you out right quick, because one side will be sending dots and the other side will be sending dashes. So, you may have 98% of a CW rig already. Just need the paddles. Over.
Jim, that's great. That is great to know. Yeah, I didn't even, or great observation. I have, even on a modest rig, you'd be surprised how many modern rigs have a built-in gear. I have an IC718, and I was surprised to find that had a built-in gear on it. I haven't used it, but it is there. And, that could be another option for you, Daryl. Just pick up the paddle. And if that's the goal that you want to, you know, go for, you may have it built into your rig already. And if you take Jim's advice, or you know, look it up in your operator manual, you can find it out, and no sweat. You know, that could be a nice route for you to go. Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much. That's one I didn't even think about. Good to pass it along. We have PUJ coming up next, and Tony, come on aboard.
Good morning from Southwest Florida, KJ4PUJ. It's where it's about 68 degrees at this point. It's supposed to go up to 77, and Kathy and Jack have already given you the weather report and say good morning to everybody on South Cars. Yeah, that's my HF antenna, Gary. Like you, I did a lot of research. I've got limited space and installation options, and I actually contacted the club, ordered it direct from them, had it in less than a week. As most of you know, my technical skills on the side of the hobby are limited. But I've been very pleased with it. First time I took it out for a drive, so to speak, running about 50 watts through it, and I was able to participate in the South Cars HF net as the first contact on that antenna. And then later on that weekend, I was able to reach up into Indiana and Massachusetts and over to Texas just on 50 watts. So I haven't really played with it much beyond that amount of wattage, but great success so far, and that was on 40 meters, 10 meters, and 12 meters. So quite happy with it. Receiving, I've heard Europe the Pacific Northwest up into Alaska, Central and South America. So as a receiver, it worked pretty good. Let me buy a nickel. And I've got mine at the feed point is elevated about 26, 27 feet on a retractable mast at the base of my VHF, UHF antenna. And then I have it sloped along a north-south line to where the low end is at about 17 feet or so, because I wanted to make sure my signal got up into the main part of North America. But beyond that, quite pleased with it, and I think you will be too.
Hey, thank you, Tony. I'm really getting excited about this thing. What my plan to do is I'm going to run this thing straight up. I plan on putting together excuse me, and I don't know why I'm losing my voice this morning, but it better not go too far, I can tell you that. My plan is to go straight up with this thing. I want to go and put together about 33 feet of Schedule 80 pipe or conduit, and I'm going to run about a 31-foot wire up the inside of this thing. You know, as they say, you know, just you have to use your tuner, you know, run my antenna tuner on it. I bought an LDG Z100 to handle that chore, because I sold my other LDG, which I still kick myself for. Oh, I don't need that. I've got a loop now, you know. I have heard nothing but good about this, and I, too, contacted the folks in Honolulu, and a good bunch of people to be talking to. They confirmed that really works very well as a vertical, and they said the same thing that you said, that you know, I should be pretty happy with it. So we will have reports in the months to come, and it's encouraging to hear that you're getting good results with it too. It seems like a great way to go for people that don't have a lot of space. So thanks for checking in. Hope you'll check in again. We move things along to KAV. Hello there. Good morning to you.
Hello, Gary in the net, KC2RMO. This is WD4KAV, Joe in Port St. Lucie. A couple of observations. I was enjoying the net, and then when you guys mentioned the EARCH antenna and the 1788, my interest perked up, because I just bought one of those antennas, the EARCH antenna, but I took the easy way out, bought it pre-assembled, and my unique situation will be that I will be in a manufactured home, in a manufactured home lot, in an antenna-unfriendly area, about the every ham's nightmare. And I do have an S9 vertical, but it's all collapsed, and I'm moving to the state of Washington, where the ground is very hard, and there'll be no space for radials. So anyway, my thought was, and this is just an observation, I'll bring the S9 back to life as just a support, and also it's green, so it'll blend in with all the Washington pine trees, and stick that in the backyard and run the Honolulu Club antenna from the, Unun, I guess, out to the top of the S9 as a support. That's what I'm planning on doing, and hang on a minute. So hopefully that'll work. I'll find out. I know you've got to have at least 18 feet of coax. I'm also wondering, and maybe somebody knows the answer to this, if you run into problems with wavelength, quarter wavelength amounts of coax being a problem, you know, on some of the bands, even though you're running it through a tuner. I don't know. That's just a rhetorical question, I guess. And Gary, I'd like to get with you after the net, unless somebody else can also answer this. I've looked very hard at the 1788 and the other MFJ loop, and I can't remember the model number. And I got scared away because of the unending stream of comments about the bad construction quality and loose parts and all that, and I don't want to spend that kind of money and have something that's, you know, going to require a lot of work once I get it. So maybe after the net you can call me back on my link, or maybe somebody else wants to make an observation on any of the MFJ loops. I'd appreciate it. I wonder if that's just a case of a minority of people screaming very loudly, or if there really are problems with quality control on that antenna. KC2RMO in the net, WD4KAV.
Well, that's a good point on that 1788, and I'm going to tell you my experience with it, Joe, which is, there's a little truth to the quality issue, but I've had that problem with other MFJ items, too, they offer you some unique stuff, and they offer some unique stuff at a decent price. But the thing is, you don't always get the best quality stuff in the world. Now, having said that, they're minor things, okay? I've seen like the silk screening is poor on some things that I've got. In the case of the loop, the holes weren't drilled right on the mounting bracket, and I had to play with that, and I had to kind of make up my own mounting scheme for it. You could have opened up those holes. That would have been just fine, too. You kind of have to futz around with things. But other than that, it worked as advertised. Performance-wise, it was okay. So now you have to have that question. You have to say, okay, I'm spending, I think that thing was $425 for that. That's a lot of money for an antenna, especially, you can put up a G5 RV for next to nothing if you have the room. That's the key, if you have the room, you say, is it worth the money? Well, I think it is. If that's your only option, or if that's the best option for your situation, it really is not bad, but I think you may have an occasional quality problem. The follow-up to that, let me just buy a nickel, is that I have heard, I've heard the same stories that you heard, and if, my comments are on EHAM too, regarding it, as well. But MFJ is really pretty good about addressing any returns or anything like that, or with the tech support. So if you do have problems, they are pretty good as far as backing stuff up. So I guess it's okay. But yeah, I was concerned with that too, I have not been disappointed in the performance of that antenna. I think for what it is, it does a great job. It sure got me into places that I didn't think I could go on a very limited amount of space. This is different, though, and I think I can kind of, up the ante a little bit. I think we can push that a little bit further now. You keep researching and you keep finding out stuff. And I'm very enthusiastic about this antenna. I think it's going to be a really cool thing to experiment with. So we'll see, definitely it's worth the effort. This is Ask an Elmer on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. And what we're talking about is all things ham radio. In this particular case, we are talking about the Honolulu Emergency Amateur Radio Club NFED antenna, and its possible use as a solution for some really limited spaces, and looks like it's got a lot of potential. So the link is in the text box if you want to check that out a little more. There's plans on how to build it. There's plans on where to buy, or links on where to buy it. So you can avail yourself of that, and it looks like a pretty good bet. Let me buy a nickel. So we'll move things along from the topic of antennas and this seemingly magical vertical NFED deal. And I could go all morning on that one, let's move things along to something we were talking about too a while ago, and that is packet radio. Okay, we were talking about packet, and we had some various comments on that. And everybody's talking about, a TNC. They're a little pricey, you know. They are pricey. They're kind of hard to find. It just kind of might put a little damper on people dabbling into packet radio. Well, I found a solution that I have just put the link for in the text box, and that's using your computer's sound card as a terminal node controller that you can use your computer to do packet with, which really makes a lot of sense when you think about it, right? Why run a TNC when you can just run the software, and you probably, if you do anything digital, you already have the interface. So why not use it that way too? So again, when I get the station back on the air, this is going to be another little thing that we're going to be playing with. The cost is nothing. You download the software. If you have the interface. If you don't have the interface, I would wager you dollars to donuts that the KY6V digital interface, and you can Google that and you can find out where that is, would be something that you could put together for virtually pennies, and it would do a nice job for you. Or you could certainly, use a signal link or any other thing that you choose. But it definitely holds a lot of promise. So sound card packet seems to be a kind of a cool thing to be playing around with, the link is there for you to go with. And I will take some check-ins right now. Has anybody used this? Has anybody played around with sound card packet radio? Or having been enlightened, do you plan to use it? We'll take some check-ins right now as we continue with Askin' Elmer here on South Cars on KC2RMO.
Kilowatt Charlie 9, Yankee Zulu Romeo. And 6 Victor.
And Quebec Yankee.
Good group that time around. We'll kick things off with YZR and Bernie.
Okay, sounds good there, Gary. Enjoyed the net last night. I didn't check in, but I listened to it. It was very interesting. But anyway, today, I was listening to you talking about, or other people too were talking about, I think it was Jim maybe, was talking about the Keir, CW Keir. Well, my first HF rig, first rig actually, was my Drake TR4. And I still wish I had it, but I don't have it anymore. There was no Keir, of course, built into it, but it did have that Pi network, so I did not have to have an external antenna tuner, which was sort of interesting. But I did not have a Keir, so I went and I got an MFJ Econo Keir for that. But my ICOM here, the IC718, has a built-in Keir, but in order to use the different types of keys, they have a menu setting, and you have to have it shut off and hold the power button in, and then press the set button. And when you turn the power on, you're holding that set button in, you get into this menu that you change usually once or twice, and then you usually don't have to change them ever again. And then it's got that regular menu that you can change things all the time when you have it on. Press and hold the set button in for minor changes that you can do all the time, like power levels and stuff like that. But this one menu where you hold the set button in and then put your turn your ICOM on. Then you have this one main menu, I guess you'd call it, where you just set it and more or less forget it most of the time. But in there, there's a setting to switch between a straight key. And they call it CW paddle for the setting in the menu. And then you can have normal or reverse, or you can have it set up for the iambic or iambic keys. I'm going to unkey here. But someone mentioned the Vibroplex bug or whatever. I never could get the hang of that. I tried using it, but I'd either end up with not enough bits or too many. Because the weight would swing back and forth, and I'd either get two dits when I needed three, or I'd get five or six dits when I only needed three. I could never get the hang of those bugs. I just didn't care for that. I always tried to go with the straight key because that's kind of what the original one was. I think the first one was a straight key. But when I get tired of that, if my hand is wearing out, then I had the Fiberplex brass racers side by side, or lambic or iambic or whatever, and I like that. It had a triangular shaped base, although they have a square one too, I guess. And my best friend, he thought it was too light. He thought it would move around, and I said, no, it don't. It has rubber feet, and if you keep the rubber feet clean and the desktop clean, it wouldn't move around at all. And so anyway, that's enough of that, I guess, with the code keys. I do like code. I can copy it about maybe up to 15 words per minute, and I was able to pass the 20 word per minute by filling in the blanks. You know, I'd miss a letter here or two, there, here and there, but I was able to fill in the blanks, so to speak, and I would get it. But I think eventually, if I would have kept at it when I was a ham the first time, I probably would have been able to increase my speed there, because I do enjoy sending it. But I wasn't no racer. I just like to go, you know, 20 words per minute is what I would really like to send at and receive at, and I figure that's a nice, comfortable speed to learn. And like I said, 15 words per minute is about where I was at, where I could copy it 100%. And I was trying to learn as much as I can in my head without having to write things down, too. Take another break. And as far as packet goes, I bought two used TNCs. One was a MFJ 1270, or might have been the 1270B, I'm not sure, and later the KPC-3, and I bought them both used for something like $50, but I never could get the sound card packet to work. I did download an RTTY program. I got that to work, and I also downloaded a slow scan TV, the MMSS TV program, so I was able to get the slow scan TV program to work via the sound card, and also the teletype one to work, both three programs I downloaded from the internet, but I could never get the packet one to work. I'm going to try it again, though. And finally, the HF antenna I'm using right now is a high-gain AV18VS, 80 through 10 meters, and in my trailer cord here. And I tried moving that clip all over the inductance coil for changing frequencies, changing bands and stuff, but I wasn't really the happiest with doing that, and it wasn't just the inconvenience of it. I thought, well, if I could find the proper places for each band, I could just make multiple taps and then set up a remote switch or something, but I didn't care for it, and I couldn't get it to work the best. I think 2-to-1 is about as low as I could get the SWR on that vertical. It has that inductance clip on it, inductance coil, and you move the clip to change bands. So what I did is I bought an MFJ automatic antenna tuner to 925, and that's what I used for adjusting the SWR on that vertical antenna that I got now. So back to you there, Gary. I've been talking kind of fast because I wanted to say quite a bit in a short amount of time. KC2RMO, KC9YZR.
Hey, thank you, Bernie. No, we don't have a timer going here, you know. And she's giving me the signal. You know, it'd be like Major Bowes when he used to give you the gong, you know. But you did have a lot of good points. The one thing is, don't you just love your 718? That is just an awesome little rig. To me, it is the Volkswagen Beetle of HF rigs. There is nothing fancy about that. It's a totally utilitarian little radio, but it's great. It does the job, and it does it very, very well. I am super happy with mine. Yes, it is. I am capable of being seduced by a TS-590S. I understand that, you know, but it is just a gorgeous. That is just a gorgeous rig, but for getting the job done and doing it well, you can't beat an IC718. That's for sure. I have not used the internal keyer on that. I will be doing that maybe when I get the shack back together. That may be something that we will be doing. I had not really thought about it until we had broached the subject this morning. So something to think about. Packet radio. It's elusive. I don't know. You got two TNCs for $50. Every time I go to check a used TNC out, somebody wants $250 for the thing, and you know, it's like, forget it. But that's why I was really happy to find the sound card TNCs. To me, that sounds like a great way to go. So for somebody, again, who doesn't have a lot of experience in it but would like to play around with it, that seems like a good solution to me. But thank you, Bernie, for checking in, and I appreciate it. We will move things along to KY6V. Hello there, Gordon, once again.
Okay, well, thanks, Gary. Major Bose, you say you're dating yourself, Tiger. My goodness gracious. Well, I'll tell you what, there was a part of my hamming career that I was a packet-holic. And I can look around the shack here and count up at least six visible TNCs. I was involved with a major network covering southern Florida. We had a bunch of triple port packets on high television towers scattered around the state, and boy, did we have a network that was a network. But I'd be interested in the concept of the sound card. And have you run across any software that pursues that one can download as a freebie or 30-day trial or something? I wanted to make one other comment, and it goes back. Well, I want to make two comments, Gary. First of all, you're running such a great show that I'm not getting my packing done as fast as I should, because I keep listening to you, and I says, oh, I want to jump in and make a comment on that. In fact, let me buy a nickel. Quite a while ago, you mentioned using a computer decoder program to copy the CW for you, and I would sure use that as a crutch, because those programs need perfect CW to decode, okay? And when I'm saying perfect, like using a keyer, embatic paddles, or whatever, where the timing is done for you. If you're an old goat like I am, and I'll tell you a pet peeve that my father had, I grew up with a Navy swing. Okay, on. Now, if you have a Navy swing or a banana boat swing or whatever you want to call it, these decoders that try to decode you on your computer don't work worth a toot. Used to get my father totally frustrated. Some guy would come back to him at 80 words a minute, and he'd go right back at him. And he was running a bug with a Navy swing, and this guy come back and says, I can't copy it. And it just drove my father nuts. KY6V, go ahead, Gary. On a bug.
You know, you make a great point about using the software to decode as a crutch. That's what I was recommending too. What I do, and Steve, if you're listening, Victor Hotel, you went and did the same thing that I did. I was going to get into this a little bit later on in the net, but we both have these El Cheapo SDRs that they're based on a dongle and a an HF up converter board. Now, here's what I do, okay? I have this thing. I built it into a little box that I have the cable tied to the back of my Mac on the support for the monitor or for the monitor and CPU part of the iMac. So it's all completely hidden from view. What I do is I have a virtual audio cable that feeds FL Digi, which is the decoding software, and you can also use it for transmitting digital modes. So you have the SDR software feeding this FL Digi software, and I decode code when I'm listening to it. And again, Gordon is absolutely right. It has to be perfect for it to decode perfectly, and you'll see these big gaps, and I'll fill it in. It's an S. But that's absolutely right, because code is not a uniform series of bits and dots. It's what Gordon was referencing, and if you go to the Southcars outreach course on code, you will understand what Gordon was talking about with swing. It is a I guess the easiest way to put it is it's your own style. Everybody has a little bit of a unique way of transmitting code, and it's a dit is not necessarily a dit, and a dot is not necessarily a dot. It's how you put them all together. Let me buy a nickel. So that's what he's talking about. But that is without a doubt. And Gordon, that link for the packet radio, for the sound card packet radio, is in the text box. It is absolutely free, and no salesman will call. It is. And if you're within the sound of my voice, it's great. It's open source stuff, and it really looks like it's worth playing around with. So definitely give it a try, without a doubt. We had Quebec Yankee there. Jim was hanging in, and come on aboard, sir.
KB34 U.S. We discussing computer packet versus PNC packet or whatever. And I'm like Gordon, maybe he wasn't quite as big as Gordon was in the packet business, but I ran the state BBS system for Mars. I ran that for about nearly 4 years. But anyway, I've fooled with it a bunch. and I found good software that'll run packet on the sound card. It's not hard to do. Not hard to do at all. But you're limited as to what you can do, because it doesn't have the power of a PNC. So it would depend on what kind of packet you want. For example, if you're running kind of a keyboard packet, it's just two fellas picking back and forth. Why, you use PNC software, that's just fine. But if you want to run something like a bulletin board, and you either got to have a bulletin board software, or a PNC that has it built in. And that's where the advantage of PNC is. Let me buy a nickel. That's where the advantage of the TNC is, because it has a bulletin board type software built in it. So that thing can sit there and take traffic or take messages. It just scans them, and you don't even have to have the monitor on. You don't have to even have a computer on. As far as that goes, you put that thing in gear, so to speak, and you can even take the computer and go do something else with it. And because that TNC will handle your messages by sending and receiving. It'll call station so and so, whatever it is, 30 minutes at the hour, or on the hour, or whatever, and call him every hour until he comes up, and it'll deliver his message, and all of that. So there's just so much more that the TNC will do, and including changing modes. Perhaps you got one station on packet. Next station comes up and calls you on AMTOR, GTOR, or something other like that. That TNC will change modes automatically. It changes to whatever it's hearing. So that's the beauty of of a CNC. So, to my knowledge, there isn't any software.
Jim, I think we lost you. I think you timed out. Yeah, you did. You timed out. But while you're recycling, let me just make a couple comments. I am going to have a private network with you and Gordon and get edumacated on packet radio. I am just getting into this, and the more I see, the cooler it looks, and it's just something I want to do. I figure for me, again, just getting myself into this, probably the sound card solution might be a good deal. Maybe somewhere down the line, I'll get a TNC. I'll tell you, I like the idea already of being able to automatically switch modes with the TNC. That is awesome. I like that. But for right now, I'll probably stick with the sound card solution and work my way up. But expect to be hearing from me in the future. Anyway, looks like you're back in business, Jim. Come on back aboard.
Yeah, I kind of figured I'd talk it out. Oh well, anyhow, we had to take time and see if it worked every now and then. Anyway, but the TNC is the way to go if you're gonna go serious. If you're just gonna play with digital modes every now and then, I wouldn't recommend the TNC. I'd go sound card, and I've gone both. I've done right good on both of them, but if I'm gonna do any serious work, I would consider the TNC only. I just wouldn't take a sound card for anybody to take the job at all. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's the way to fly. And again, because I can't find anybody around here that's selling them cheap, and I go online and I can't find anybody who's selling them cheap. That's what got me looking. The light bulb came out over my head one day. So, well, you know, why can't you use a computer as a TNC? There's got to be some software for it. And there was, actually. I found it. So, but like you say, if you want to do the real deal, you're going to need the hardware for it. But I'm just dabbling right now, so this could be a good solution to me. But what you did, sir, is you provided me with a great segue. and VXP, we see your comment. We'll call you up next. But you did provide me with a segue to something that I was going to get into one or two items down the line. Although, holy smokes, we're getting into almost the bottom of the second half, or the half hour and the second hour. So let me just say this then. You were talking about digital modes. I am a huge PSK31 person. I love PSK31. It fascinated me early on. I've used it a lot. I've had some really good success with PSK31. It's prompted me to check out other digital modes, too. One thing that I am, my new love, or when I get back on the air, is Olivia. And I don't know anybody who knows anything about Olivia. It's a butter-like spread. I don't really know folks that use it. I do know that they call that the magic mode. They say that even if you don't see the signal on the waterfall, it can pull it. I am dying to try it. So I've been listening with my $60 SDR to see if I can find someone to decode it, but I haven't been able to find any yet. So my question is, I'm going to throw this out as a two-part thing. We're going to just say, has anybody any experience in Olivia? And if so, what frequencies would you recommend working? But before we get to that, I want to pick up VXP, who has a comment. So, Rick, come on aboard.
This is N1TXP. Yeah, been sitting back here just listening, but when you mentioned about sound card packet radio, that kind of struck a little thought in my mind. I was like, hey, wait a minute, I'd heard about that before, and if you hang on a second, I just put in a link in there, in the text box. One way to, I guess they say be very cheap about it, but to build your own little components to end up utilizing it. It sounds quite interesting. Doesn't look like it's too complicated. And I know a lot of the hams always like to think about building things, and definitely sounds interesting. I notice they do mention in there about using the computer, but one thing it always keeps in mind, you got to have a fairly halfway decent computer. You know, you don't want a really slow operating one, but the higher speed does seem to be the part that, as far as operating system, definitely needed. I got to back out of here. I got to get to another net, and always enjoy it. I'll be probably just listening a little bit. Yeah, packet radio is not, some people say it's gone by the wayside, but from what I'm reading, it's not. It's just going through a little modification and building up, and hopefully people will enjoy it. N1TXP back to net control.
Hey, thank you, Rick, and I agree. I see a lot of positive comments about packet. I know it went through a kind of a hiatus for some time, and yeah, people were saying, "Hey, you know, it's nothing." But there is a resurgence in packet, and it is actually gaining popularity. And I think there's a lot of questions that people, you know, through the years they have ignored it. So there's a lot of questions about it. So I expect to see a packet renaissance in the next few years, and that's pretty cool. Just a good time to be getting interested in it again, you know, at this point. A couple of comments out there I see in the text box, and first of all, it looks like KAV has some Olivia information, and also Victor Hotel. So let's pick up KAV first, and let's hear the rest of the story.
Okay, KC2RMO and the net, WD4KAV again. And while I get the floor here, I'll make a couple of comments. There's another way to go for a computer packet. That's a 30-day trial of a program called MixW, M-I-X-W. It's not cheap if you buy it, which I did a few years ago. It's actually multi-mode software, but it works very well on HF and VHF packet. As a terminal only, it doesn't have any built-in BBS functions, although there are some ways, I guess, with other programs that you might be able to interface it. Like Gordon, and I think you too, Gary, I used to run a dual-port HF-VHF packet gateway. In fact, I started out with a Xerox 820, so that's a bunch of trivia that nobody else cares about. that's a computer that used 8-inch floppy disks, believe it or not. So I've been down the packet route. Olivia, let me buy a nickel. Olivia, I work up a couple KC from 14070 most often, and I don't remember the exact shift, or I guess it would be data rate modes, but there's the default mode is narrow banded, but it's extremely slow, and it sends characters in groups of three. So you can go out, make a cup of coffee, have a sandwich, come back while you're watching a fellow send a couple paragraphs to you of text. And or if you're a poor typist, it works great on transmit because you can type out a sentence and it'll probably still be sending by the time you're done, even if you're a hunt and pecker. But all that being said, it does copy down into the noise. It's a great mode for communicating under less than optimum conditions. I generally run 30 watts, just like with PSK. Let me let this drop a minute. And I usually try to use, and I'm sorry for being so vague, but I do it with FL-Digi, and I just look at the width of the Olivia signal, and I can tell about what speed or what shift or whatever the fellow's using. And I try to go up at least one from the default settings, which is a little wider bandwidth. It may be a couple hundred cycles instead of, I think it's 250 is the smallest. But it's a great mode, it really is. In fact, my first contact with Hawaii was on 20 meters at 7 o'clock at night with Olivia, and neither one of us could see the other one on the waterfall. It's really great. KC2RMO, WD4KAV.
Hey, Joe, that's good to hear. Now, I have, of course, 14070 is the standard 20-meter PSK31 frequency. I have fished around 070 up to 072, sniffing out Olivia signals, and so far haven't found any. But again, right now what I'm using is my computer-mounted SDR, and I don't know about 25 feet of thermostat wire. So I may be missing some stuff. You know, it's not the world's greatest antenna. It's not the world's greatest listening situation. But I continue to try and find that. It just seemed like a really great way to go, and another one to put in the bag of tricks there. So I'm going to be fooling around with that in the days to come. And MixW is a I don't like the idea of paying all that money for it. I wonder, and I haven't even looked. I have it on the computer, but the way I'm set up right now, I don't want to go fishing. I use two computers. I talk to you through the iMac, and I have communications with the administrative text box and other stuff running on the HP. So they're sitting next to each other, and it's probably overly complicated, but it's what I like. You know, so I've got that. But I wonder, you can still get Ham Radio Deluxe for nothing, friends and neighbors. It is an older version. I think it's version 5 that you can get. That's the one that the last version before they sold it is available out there if you fish around for that, if you look around for that. And I'm just wondering if in the digital section of that they may have that capability. It's worth checking out anyway. I think HRD is it's a pretty daunting program. I think it's really overly complicated. I use my digital stuff. I use a program called FL-Digi, which is basically a Linux program that they ported to OS X. Let me buy a nickel. I think there's a Windows port for that too, but there's other really good digital programs too. The one that comes to my mind is AirLink Express. Digipan. That's Digipan is one of the oldest programs out there for digital modes that offers you multiple choices and. There's a bunch of them out there that are really good, so and they don't cost anything. But I've heard good things said about MixW. It's just, it's the box. I think I'd stay away from because I'm cheap. But thank you, sir, and there was good information. I appreciate it. I want to move things along a little bit here because we're kind of getting down to it, but a couple of other items. That I wanted to pass along. I'm just looking here on the text. Before I go to the next item, Steve, if you're there, Victor Hotel, did you have anything to mention about Olivia?
Gary, the link I put in the text box is just a nice page about Olivia. Talks about the way the mode works, and it has a full listing of the frequencies for the different modes. Olivia will work in a very narrow bandwidth and provide 8 virtual channels, or 8 channels within that bandwidth, up to 32 channels in a 1,000 hertz. So you pick what you need and you go with it. And again, as has been said, Olivia will work even when the human ear can't even hear that there's any coding going on. It's very, very robust. That's it. Back to you, Gary, KF5VH.
Thank you, Steve. I will be checking out that link a little bit later on, and I hope others will copy it too. It looks like a cool thing to be involved with, and thanks for putting up that link. And Rick, thanks for your link too. Appreciate that. So as we were saying, a couple of other orders of business here that I wanted to mention this morning. As I have been sitting here, what I try to do is for about an hour a day, I like to fire up this El Cheapo SDR of mine and do a little listening around. It looks like 20, 15, and 12 meters have been rocking lately. They have just been a lot of activity. So my question out there, I just want to throw that out, has anybody been making contacts on 20, 15, and or 12? Because I'm hearing lots of stuff going on out there. So I'm just wondering, is it just me, or how about you, you know? That was one thing. And another thing, let me just throw this up here. I've got my little list of links, and I wanted to pass this one along, too. Just a little tidbit that I wanted to pass along to folks, because I like to always do a ham radio on the cheap thing. And you probably know this already, or maybe you don't. But I figure, why not? Let's just throw it out there for folks. There we go. There we go. This is going to be in the text box, and there you go. So this is a little ham radio on the cheap thing. And what is this? This is a plans for some various and extremely cheap choke balins that you can make. Now, choke balin is a very handy thing to have. It provides isolation between the shack and the antenna. You can build them for next to nothing, friends. That's about as cheap as you can get. It's basically, if you got a scrap piece of PVC pipe, or you don't even really need pipe to do it, you can basically build an air coil thing. But it tells you all about how to do it, and nice little easy to do and inexpensive addition to the shack right there. So try that one. So let's go back to the business of 2015 and 12. Have you been hearing the activity that I've been hearing, and have you been working any stations? We ask the question right now as we continue with Ask an Elmer on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
6, Victor.
Well, not too many that time around, so go ahead, Gordon.
Hey, thanks, Gary. Just a real shorty. I haven't been very active HF here lately with everything else that's been going on, so I can't answer that question. I've been watching the sunspot readings, and I can see that there's some life out there. I just wanted to tell you, Gary, I knew Olivia. She played lead clarinet in the high school band, KY6V, over.
I knew her, too. But I kept, you know, when I first started getting interested into it, all I could think of is there's an olive oil spread, you know, like a butter spread, that's called Olivia, you know, and that's all I could think of was the stuff sitting in the fridge. You know? It's the only digital mode that you can put on toast, you know. So, but yeah, I was definitely thinking of that. But it looks like, yeah, it does. It looks like 20 and 15 and 12 are really alive right now, and And Bernie says Olivia Newton-John. But they really seem to be cooking. And again, you know, I can't transmit. it's really frustrating, but it's cool to hear it. So that's nice. Other than the fact that I'm sitting here getting frustrated, I just wanted to see if anybody else was getting in on the action. That's for sure. So we're doing Ask an Elmer this morning, and I'm kind of going down my list here. One of the things I wanted to mention this morning too was what Gordon was kind of talking about too. Propagation is important to everybody that's involved in this hobby, that's for sure. But a lot of us don't really understand it. You know, Gordon's talking about sunspots, and, you know, some folks understand it very well, and other folks, you know, it's like, well, I've heard that term, but I don't really know what they're talking about. It all falls under the general heading of propagation, and one way to make that subject easy for everybody is to use propagation beacons. Now, that's a pretty easy thing to do, but you say, how do I do this? Well, software, my friend, software. What you do, and I'm going to give you a link for this in just a moment. There is a program that you can run on your computer. There are beacons. These are little low power transmitters scattered throughout the world, and they run in a sequential order. And depending upon what you hear, will tell you how good the propagation is for that day. And they have these beacons set up in a network going across various ham radio bands. And it's a great way to find out how good the conditions are going to be that day. So there you have it. You just follow the sequence of beacons flashing on your software, tune your radio to that frequency, and you can find out how things are doing, which is pretty good. So you know, how many times have you gone on the air and just listened and not hurt anybody, and you say, oh, the band's dead, you know. Well, it might be just perfectly great, but nobody else is talking, you know, because they're all saying the same thing that you are. By checking out propagation, you've got a pretty good shot, at least, of eliminating the fact that the band's dead, you know. Then just start calling CQ if it's not, you know. So that's the way to go. So I threw that one in there for what that was worth. So let's see. We did our ham radio on the cheap. We did our beacons. And, okay, we're getting down to the last, less than the last 15. So let me do this. The last thing that I had on my list to pass along was the J-pole. You know, everybody likes to talk about antennas. And, you know, J-pole is about as standard as an item as it can be for VHF. But have you ever considered a J-pole for HF? It can be done, and apparently it works pretty well. So you're not going to build a 40-meter J-pole, but for some of the HF bands, it can be pretty successful. Here's a link. You can take a look at that and fool around as necessary with it. I think it's great. I really do. You know, you can build it as simple as you want. You can build it out a ladder line, or if you're particularly ambitious, I suppose you could build that out of half-inch copper pipe. You know, that would be kind of a beast on some bands, but it is doable. So, might be fun to play around with. There's a link to get you started anyway. So we're kind of wrapping things up on Ask an Elmer this morning, and I think we've got room for one more set of check-ins. What do you think, huh? Before we call it quits for the day. So let's take a round of check-ins right now, probably the last round this morning. So let's hear from you. Make it count, okay? We're taking check-ins right now on Ask an Elmer. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Victor Hotel.
And Six Victor.
Well, I can't think of a better way to wrap things up, so let's go with Victor Hotel right now.
Thanks, Gary. Going back to the sun and band conditions, there are two things on your VOIP.southcars.com website. For those that like the technical stuff, on the right column, under the heading Space Weather, we have reports there that include sun conditions that are updated automatically. And if you're looking for something a little easier to read, in the left column, under the members heading, we have On the Bands, which comes right out and tells you what the conditions are on the VHF bands, the HF bands, MUF reports around the world. So it's all right there for you, right on your own website. This is KF5VH. Back to you, Gary.
Thank you, Steve. And once again, one more reason to be using that South Cars website. And Steve, thank you for all the great stuff that you've done to that website. I really can't stress that enough. That is, if you're not familiar with the site, and I think we started off the net talking about this too. If you're not familiar with the site, do yourself a favor and check it out, because there's so much great stuff there. It's considerably different than the old South Cars website. A lot of useful and enjoyable stuff there. So, and again, that was the guy that's responsible for that, and he's done a great job with it. So thanks again, Steve. We move it along to 6 Victor, and I think you're going to be our last check-in for the day, Gordon, so come on aboard.
Okay, well, that's good, Gary, because I've got more packing to do. And I was going to mention the website also, so thank you for that, Steve. I wanted to implant here, Gary, don't give up. You know, there's an answer to just about everything. If you want to make a 40-meter J-pole, go ahead and make it. Just make sure you got, like I do, a number of 80-foot trees. You use a bow and arrow and you shoot a line over the top of that baby, and then you hook it onto the end of this 40-meter J-pole and just pull it up and let it hang. KY6V, go ahead, sir.
See, this is the advantage to living like in New York, where you just hang this off the side of a building, you know. It'd be great. But I saw that. I was just like, wait a minute, you know, an HFJ pole, you know, and it's like, but really some of the, like for 10, you know, you can do it. And I think they had plans at dimensions in there for like 15, you know, 10, 15, I think it was 10, 15, and 17 that they had in the article. And why not? You know, it's, I've used, a J-pole. I have a Plumber's Delight J-pole, you know, the copper pipe one, that I have used, on 2 meters, and, it's been a great antenna for me. It really has. That thing, I had it set up back at the old QTH in a very modest situation. Not in the best location at all for it. But I was hitting, you know, repeaters 40 miles away, 50 miles away with that thing on feeding it off my VX150. So, you know, why not? It's a great antenna and great design, and the whole deal with this hobby is like Gordon said, you know, experiment, play with it, you know. So if you want to build a 40-meter J-pole and you can figure out how to hang that sucker, then by all means do it. That's what it's all about. Well, this has been fun this morning. This is always fun. This is just a great net, and I appreciate everybody's participation. You're the guys that make it a great net. Definitely appreciate having you there, and I appreciate all the comments and the input. And what do you say? Let's do this thing again. So thanks again for everything. It's been a lot of fun. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIPNet schedules and general information may be found on the VoIP.SouthCars.com website. Your net control for this session of the Spengary KC2RMO saying 73 and closing this VoIP session. Thanks for your participation. This net is closed.